Proper music. Proper sport.
What a goal!
Proper radio.
Good evening, you're listening to Radio Yorkshire. We're moving to the second hour of tonight's show, and we're moving away from horse racing. Seven to eight, we had our Royal Ascot special. That's Bobby Beavers in the background. He's sticking with us to talk some football. We're giving him a change of sport for a change, because he is just too engrossed in horse racing. It's Euros time, Bobby. Euros time.
Yep, looking forward to it. Looking forward to it.
Bobby's looking forward to the Euros, and so is our regular on the 72, the editor of the 72, of course, Mr. Tom Carnduff. All right, Tom?
Yeah, pretty good.
Two days in a row.
I know. It's great, isn't it?
Bobby will be getting jealous.
My lovely voice.
I know.
So what we're going to do this evening, the second hour of the show, is we're going to pick our England 11. Myself and Tom got onto it a little bit last night when we were talking about which Football League players were going to be representing the Football League at the Euros. So we kind of touched on the England team. And so we're going to go through it. What we're going to do is pick formation, then goalkeeper and defence, take a little break, pick the midfield, and then our strike force that will start against Russia on Saturday night, England in action, where Wales kick off their campaign prior to that at 5 o'clock. So we're going to go through our England team. As you already heard, we're going to be sprinkling it in with some football music. I challenged Tom a little early. He couldn't find much on the system. I've dug a couple out.
Yeah.
You were tricked by the system slightly.
I was a bit, yeah, but at least you've kind of recovered it now. Looks yeah. quite strong music yeah. lineup.
Yeah, it's bad. Don't worry, I've sorted it out. So a bit of music, and we'll also be hearing from our Stato voice, the late great Sam Oliver, who is going to be talking us through the groups for the Euros. Sam, of course, no longer with us here at Radio Yorkshire. So we'll kick off then, chaps, with our England teams. I think we should start with Tom Carnduff. Given that he is, I think it's fair to say, that the football expert here in the room.
So,
what we want is your formation and goalkeeper and back four, please. And reasons why, of course.
Yeah, so I've gone for 4-4-2 with a diamond in midfield. I think Hodgson tried it a bit in the warm-ups. And I think for me, just the players who England have got out wide, you know, your Sterling particularly, these are players who have had times where they've not been overly effective, both for club and country. And I think with the midfield power England possess, really should be looking at the four in midfield. But of course, the four across the back as well. I think the obvious choice is Joe Hart in goal, England's number one, very well experienced. Back four of Kyle Walker, had a decent season with Spurs, obviously enjoyed a very good season, just missing out at the end. Cahill and Smalling, two very strong centre-backs who should pair very nicely together. And then Danny Rose at left-back, who I think's pretty solid choice for the left-back position. So, yeah, 4-4-2, diamond in midfield. And obviously, there's the back four.
Bobby, what are you thinking?
Yes, I'm thinking that Ushuaia could win the... what Tom just said... 4-4-2 for me as well. I think the 4-4-2 can potentially work. No surprise to say that I've got Joe Hart in goal, England's number one. So Joe Hart for me to be in the goal. What Tom said as well, I've got three out of four defenders what Tom's chosen. So I'll say the ones that he has, which is Kyle Walker, Gary Cahill, and Danny Rose. The only one I've made different is I haven't put Smalling in my team. I have put I've put John Stones at centre half. Reason being is that I am going for like a younger team. And if you look at like the transfer rumours, you know, John Stones, I know he's at Everton at the moment, but he's strongly linked, you know, with the likes of Chelsea and Manchester City. And, you know, if they didn't think he was good enough, you know, they wouldn't be linking with him. And I think he deserves his chance. I think he's a very good player. I think he's one for the future. And I think he should be given his chance to start at centre-half.
Yeah, well, been one or two injury doubts over Chris Smalling this week. Looks like he is going to be fit to play, though. I'm going to go 4-3-3 for my England team. And do you know what? My back four completely agrees with Bobby.
Ooh.
Not the greatest fan of Smalling, not the greatest fan. I know Stone's had a lot of criticism this season towards the back end, but he just about gets the nod for me. So I go Hart, Walker at fullback, right back, Stones, Cahill, and Danny Rose completing my back four. So pretty simple stuff earlier on. I think it's going to get interesting now as we move towards the midfield and, of course, the strike force. I'm picking a different formation, of course, to Tom and Bobby. But there we go. That is our back four. So I think if in a combined scenario, then me and Bobby get the nod there. So currently our combined 11 sees Stones get the nod over Chris Smalling.
Yeah, I'm happy with that. I don't mind Stones as a player whatsoever. I think I was just looking towards Smalling as someone who's had a very, very good season. But nothing against Stones whatsoever. I'd be happy with him as well.
Did Smalling score against Portugal?
He did, yes.
Is Smalling the sort of player, though, if anything, he's one to get up for the corners, isn't he?
He's an effective player going forward as well. I think that was his first England goal regardless. But I think Cahill alongside Smalling, two very strong centre-backs. But like I said, not an issue with Stones whatsoever.
There we go. And you were old friends with Joe Hart as well, England's number one.
Mm-hmm, yeah, same area of the world that we come from. Joe Hart, me, a goalkeeper like him, obviously both worked out equally as well, I think. So yeah.
Did he give you free head and shoulders, like we being a good friend of his and all that? You get free head and shoulders shampoo, like, to wash your hair with?
Joe, stop. I've got no room to put it in anywhere. It's everywhere.
You have got brilliant hair, though, Tom.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's almost as good as mine.
You definitely
mine
don't use cool.
Mine is a cool.
You use the same as shampoo as those horses, you.
Yeah, so I'm so silky and smooth.
Right, we should move on and talk football again. But we'll be coming back next with our choices for the England midfield. We'll be back right after some more classic football tunes.
Sam Bridges on Radio Yorkshire.
So let's start with Group A and Albania. Yeah, me neither. They're in Group A with France, Romania and Switzerland, a country of only 3 million people, and this will be their first ever major international tournament. Now, they beat Denmark to qualify, so this is a little bit of a big deal for them. The country's Prime Minister even joined them in their open-top bus parade after they beat Armenia 3-0 to secure their place in France this summer. Absolute scenes. And following the fall of the Berlin Wall, Albania has flourished. Their football setup has given them a huge boost, with loads of youngsters coming through the ranks. And the star man for them at the Euros will be the ex-Sunderland defender Lorik Sana, who's pretty much a national hero. Another man to keep an eye on is Ray Minaj, the Inter Milan striker, who I presume isn't related to the pop star Nicki Minaj. He scored 12 seconds into his debut against Kosovo. And weirdly, a lot of the players for Albania were born in Kosovo, and they could represent them after the Euros as well. So that's Albania. Don't expect them to win the thing, but then again, anything's possible. Next up in Group A is France, home of the Eiffel Tower, the Arc de Triomphe, Disneyland, and for this summer only, Euro 2016. They are the obvious favourites in Group A, and to be fair, they've got a decent team on paper. Now, the boss, Didier Deschamps, hasn't been afraid to shake things up and leave out the big egos for the benefit of the team. Karim Benzema's been left out, something to do with a naughty video, and so has Hatem Ben Arfa. Morgan Schneiderlin was deemed only good enough for an emergency reserve spot. No country has ever scored more in a Euros final than France. They'll be on home turf, and if Deschamps can keep the squad together, they could be one of the favourites to win the tournament. Romania, the birthplace of Dracula, with a national football team managed by a former politician, as you do. Angel Iridiciu, bit of a mouthful that one, is pretty much Mr. Romania. This is his third spell in charge of the team. He built his sides very defensively, but that doesn't mean they don't have attacking talent. Alexandru Maxim is Stuttgart's main playmaker, and he can be a menace down the middle. They've been compared to Atletico Madrid in terms of their defensive play, but that's kind of where the similarities end. They'll give it their all, but a lack of star quality could let them down in the group stage. And finally, completing Group A is Switzerland, the neutral warhorse of the Euros. There were a couple of surprises when their squad was announced. Felipe Senderos, the one who used to be at Arsenal a few moons ago, has not made the cut, and neither has Gökhan Inler, who I suppose only made 5 appearances for Leicester City this season. The boss is also an interesting bloke. He started his managerial career at a non-league Swiss side, whilst also working for a homeless charity. He was pretty much unknown when he got the Lazio job in Italy, but the chairman at the time whipped out his Brendan Rodgers phrasebook and praised his great character. They're widely expected to qualify alongside France in Group A.
Sam Bridges on Radio Yorkshire.
England, England, na na na. So here we are again, another major international tournament, but this one feels a little bit different, doesn't it? There's barely any expectation for us, which could work massively in our favour. We line up in Group B alongside Russia, Slovakia and Wales. Injuries have affected us in qualifying, with Danny Sturridge, Jordan Henderson and Jack Wiltshire being sidelined for long periods. But it's the young players who will really determine how far we get in the Euros. Dele Alli was playing for MK Dons in League One when the qualifying process began, but he could now be one of our key attacking threats. A strike force of Harry Kane and Jamie Vardy, who will hopefully be starting the party, looks almost too good to be true, and a fully fit Raheem Sterling is also a very exciting prospect. Roy Hodgson will have a tough job to pick a starting 11, but it's definitely a nice problem to have. The big question is, where does Wayne Rooney fit in all this? Moving on to Russia, a side that Fabio Capello was paid millions to manage and yet was chucked out of the job after only getting 6 points from 8 games. A little bit awkward, that one. CSKA Moscow boss Leonard Shulsky was brought in to sort out the mess whilst managing both club and country, and he won all 4 of their remaining games. Russia's equivalent of Peter Crouch is Artem Dzyuba, a 6'5" giant of a striker who scored 4 in a 7-0 demolition job of Liechtenstein in qualifying, although it's pretty hard to imagine him doing the robot, if I'm honest. Sergei Ivanishev is their most capped player ever and the first name on the team sheet, and Alan! Zhigovskev was the joint top scorer at Euro 2012, despite being a defensive midfielder. They're an organised side full of confidence and will be England's biggest competition in the group. Moving on to Slovakia. Slovakia. Apparently the birthplace of Andy Warhol's parents. Who knew? Liverpool's Martin Skrtel is probably their most well-known player. Marek Hamšík is Napoli's captain and will be a big attacking threat for them. Watch out for his big mohawk. Former Manchester City man Vladimir Wies will also be on the wing. Now, Slovakia shocked everyone by beating Spain 2-1 in qualifying. Let's hope they don't do the same to England in the final group game. And lastly, in Group B are Wales, a country with more sheep than people. 10 million of the things compared to 3 million people. And they're making an appearance at their first ever Euros. And it also helps they have one of the best players in the world in their squad. Gareth Bale, at his best, is almost unstoppable. And Chris Coleman has pretty much built the team around him. Reading's Hal Robson-Kanu works tirelessly on the wing. And Aaron Ramsey loves a cheeky run into the box now and then. Ashley Williams is a rock at the back, and in fact, they kept 7 clean sheets in qualifying, which isn't a bad record at all. They could be the surprise package of the tournament if they get the most out of Bale, or they could come last in the group, either one or the other.
You're listening to part 2 of this special here on Radio Yorkshire. Sam, Tom and Bobby. Yes, Bobby Beavers talking football. Picking up England team to start. Saturday's game against Russia. It's a bit of a Euro 2016 party. Bobby's in his shorts and his I don't know, what are those shoes, Bobby, again?
They are what you call Toms. You know, they are all the range. They are what all the cool people wear. If people still use the word, yeah. If people still use the word
cool, Tom.
I know. I am aware of them being the youth generation around these parts, but. Why is every football chat me and you have had recently, Sam, turned into a fashion?
I don't know.
Yesterday we talked
about
joggers.
Because I'm a fashion icon. That's what it is.
Talked about joggers yesterday, and now Bobby's outfit. And
well, Bobby's outfit, you just have to talk about it, don't you?
Yeah, true.
It's very trendy. True. It's cool. It's just the business.
Ladies pumps. Ladies pumps. Right, let's talk football again. What we're doing is picking our England 11. We've already been through our formation. defence and goalkeeper. And now we move on to the midfield. We'll start with Bobby this time.
Thank you.
The David Beckham of the studio at the moment. Bobby, remind us, you went 4-4-2 with the diamond or non-diamond? What are you going for?
Non-diamond.
Traditional.
Yeah.
You're traditional all the
Keep
way.
Keep it traditional all the way. Traditional. Just like having fish and chips on a Friday. It's traditional, isn't it? Right, so we've got Art in goal, Walker, Cale, Stones and Rose at the back. And then the four across the middle, I want to try and play them all. So I'd have to... I'm open to suggestions here. But I think in the midfield, we should have Ali, Rooney, Dyer and Henderson. They should be the one. But I'm not quite sure if that can work. But I think Ali needs to start. I don't think he will not necessarily not play Rooney, so we've got to find a position for Rooney. I think Eric Dyer has been really good this year for Tottenham, especially in that light in the midfield, and I think Jordan Henderson to make up the four.
So what he's doing, it's a diamond though, essentially, surely, in that formation, because you've got Dyer sitting,
yeah,
you've got Ali or Rooney at the top of the diamond, uh-huh, and the other two sitting in between in the middle,
unless you kind of have like two sat and then two kind of push forward a bit more. Kind of 4-2-2-2.
Oh, I'm winning with this
kid. Square.
Yeah, the square. 4-4-2. I tell you what,
you just invented a formation, Carl.
There we go. I'll be Leeds manager by August.
Probably.
I'm well.
So you happy with that? You think that's a good team?
4-2-2-2.
Where's the width coming from, Bobby? Where's the attacking? It seems a bit narrow to me.
I would say Dele Alli will be the one to attack. I'd say Alli and Rooney in attack and have Dyer and Henderson playing as like defensive midfielder.
I knew it was a good idea getting you on. Picking new formations. Right, so that's Bobby's square. Potential diamond, maybe. We're not quite sure. Open to suggestions, if you have any, at @radio_Yorkshire. Tom Carnduff, are you inventing new formations?
I've just gone for the a formation that's already existent, if I'm thinking
Did you invent
correctly.
It?
No, I think I've copied it here. But I've got the same four players, but Eric Dyer's sitting more in a defensive midfield role in the diamond. The bottom point is quite a big player, quite defensive-minded as well, can play centre-back, can play midfield. I think he'll support Cale and Smalling quite well in that role. And then Ali and Henderson as our centre-midfielders. Henderson, obviously, pretty much an England regular now, regular in that Liverpool side as well. Dele Alli's been fantastic this season, absolutely fantastic. And allowing him to play alongside Henderson, Henderson can sit back a bit more, whereas Ali can push forward and really show kind of the attacking quality that he's got as a player. And then Wayne Rooney is kind of that attacking midfielder at the top of the diamond. He's not had the greatest of seasons, but he can really turn it on for England. And every time he plays for England, he plays well. Captain of the country, you're going to expect him to start. And I think there the width is coming from kind of Walker and Rose in those fullback positions. Two fullbacks who like to get forward, who have got the ability to get forward. And I think quite a strong midfield there that can kind of dominate the centre of the pitch.
Sound choices there from Tom Carnduff, as ever, the editor of the72.co.uk. Yeah, and well, I'm going 4-3-3, so already been through the back five. For my midfield three, alluded to it yesterday, I'm going Dyer sitting, and then I'm going Rooney playing in the position he's played for Manchester United, almost in that kind of latter Paul Scholes role, picking the ball up and, you know, delivering all over the pitch, popping up everywhere, and Ali to be the one going forward, where Rooney against Portugal, where it was a bit too advanced for me. I like to see him picking it up a little bit deeper. So that's my midfield three. Dyer to play the Sterling sitting job for England and play an absolute blinder. Rooney to be the ball carrier, the walk carrier, picking up the ball and spreading it around for England. And Ali to join up with Kane as much as possible to get that Tottenham axis going, as has proven so successful this season. Right, so there we go. That's our midfield three. We shall move on to the attackers very shortly. I'm going to get the guys' predictions as well as to who they think will win Euro 2016 and how far they think England can get. We already know Tom's answer to this. He's pretty optimistic. We'll find out why very shortly.
first up in Group C is Germany, and football's most stylish manager, Joachim Löw, guided his side to the top of the European qualification group, but still wasn't happy. They dropped points against Ireland, which exposed their weaknesses, and the current World Cup holders also go into this cinema's tournament without Miroslav Klose. Their all-time top scorer has retired, and they're a little bit short of strikers, to be honest, but they do have a decent number of attacking midfielders, including Marco Reus, Thomas Müller, Mesut Özil, Andre Schürrle, and Mario Götze as well. Oh, and they also have the world's best goalkeeper in Manuel Neuer, no biggie. Now, the talent in Germany's squad should see them through to at least the semi-finals, but they do lack that world-class striker to see them through to win it. Next up in Group C are Northern Ireland, a team managed by Michael O'Neill, a former financial services worker who only started football managing a decade ago. What a guy. There's even politicians in the Irish Parliament saying he should be knighted for getting the country to their first Euro final. So he's a little bit of a big deal over there. And it's a brilliant achievement for a country of only 1.8 million people. They've got Will Grigg, along with Kyle Lafferty and Southampton's Stephen Davis. A solid defence, including West Brom teammates Gareth McCauley and Johnny Evans, will also set them up well. It looks unlikely that they'll get out the group, but with St Michael in charge, they'll be hoping that miracles might well just happen. And the third team in Group C are Poland. Fun fact, their manager used to be a car salesman. Now, they were qualifying top scorers with 33 goals, which always helps when you've got Robert Lewandowski in your squad, I suppose. He's their main target man and arguably the best striker in Europe at the moment. He scored 5 goals in less than 9 minutes back in September, playing for Bayern Munich against Wolfsburg, picking up 4 certificates from the Guinness World Records guys in the process. They might be annoyed at drawing Germany in the groups again, but on their day, they can beat anyone. If they can get the ball up to Lewandowski, the goals are guaranteed. And on to the last team in Group C, Ukraine. A side big on defence, whose attacking players include Andrei Yamalenko off of Dynamo Kiev, a striker who scored 22 goals in 55 appearances. Now, they like to play possession football and have to steal to qualify from the group. Their manager, 67-year-old Maliko Fomenko, has done it all before. As a player, he won 3 Soviet League titles, a UEFA Cup, a European Super Cup, and coached Dynamo Kiev to a league and cup double in 1993.
Proper music. Proper sport.
What a goal!
Proper radio.
This is Radio Yorkshire.
Group D, the one most pundits are calling the group of death. Now let's start with Croatia, and they are managed by a former TV repairman who has one of the best midfields to choose from in the tournament. The trio of Luka Modric, Ivan Rakitic and Mateo Kovacic could be lethal. They'll be competing alongside the Czech Republic, a side that has only really one star player in Petr Cech. They're also a bit creaky up front. David Lafata is their main man, but the 34-year-old could only manage 1 goal and 1 assist in 7 appearances in the qualifiers. Now, their coach Pavel Vraba made his name winning the Soviet Super League and is famed for his positivity. Now, whether or not he comes home from France with a smile on his face remains to be seen. Moving on to Turkey, and the man in charge of them is the Emperor, or at least that's his nickname. Now, Faith Turim destroyed the Netherlands in qualifying and secured a place at France as the highest ranked third place team. They're a quick passing side with Arda Turan at the heart of it. The Barcelona man is used to playing alongside the likes of Lionel Messi and Luis Suarez, and he'll be linking up with the Turkish Xavi for the Euros, Selçuk İnan. It'll be a tough battle between them, Croatia and Czech Republic, for the second place spot in the group though. The favourites in Group D, and indeed one of the favourites for the Euros, are Spain, the home of the Nou Camp, the Costa del Sol, and of course, a formidable national football team. Their last appearance in the tournament was one of the most memorable games in the competition's history. That 4-0 win over Italy was an absolute footballing masterclass and their third major title in 4 years. However, the World Cup didn't go to plan, and some of the older players started to show their age. Vicente del Bosque has merged some of the new blood into the squad as well. Vicente del Bosque has merged some new blood into the squad, including Paco Alassé, who got 5 goals in 8 in qualifying. They are definitely the team to beat in the Euros.
Hey, up.
You're listening to Radio Yorkshire.
First up in Group E is Belgium, the home of Chocolate and the rock band Placebo. They're currently in the middle of their golden generation. Attackers like Eden Hazard, Christian Benteke and Romelu Lukaku have revitalised their national team, but they have a little bit of a problem at the back. Their four first choice defenders are all central defenders, so they have a definite shortage of fullbacks. Fellaini's not had that much game time at Man United either, and they've been billed as the world's best team by some pundits, but they definitely have some difficult decisions to make during the Euros. Italy are up next in Group E, the team managed by the man who'll be in the dugout at Stamford Bridge next season. Antonio Conte guided his side to 7 wins in the qualification process. It contains the experienced giant Luigi Buffon and Southampton's Graziano Pelle. Andrea Pirlo's been left out of the 30-man squad. He's currently sunning himself in America at New York City FC. And so has PSG midfielder Marco Verratti. He's been ruled out for 6 months due to an operation to fix a sports hernia. The Euros could be a difficult one for Italy beyond the group stage. Next up are the Republic of Ireland, one team who'll definitely be trying their luck. Shane Long is their star striker and the Southampton man will most likely team up with the ageing Robbie Keane. Ireland fans will be hoping he can roll back the years. John Walters will be in there too, with the big Stoke man completing the front line. James McCarthy and Wes Houlihan are solid midfielders, and Ireland have a bit of a habit for upsetting the big teams. Wins over Germany and Switzerland showed they're a little bit of a force to be reckoned with. And lastly in Group E are Sweden, the birthplace of IKEA, and the hosts of this year's Eurovision Song Contest. They have the best player in the world in their squad, or at least the player who thinks he's the best player in the world, Zlatan Ibrahimovic. He's their talisman and the only world-class player in their squad, really. Former Manchester City goalkeeper Andreas Isaacson and ex-Wigan Athletic defender Andreas Grokarnfist are still in the squad, but the emphasis will be on Ibrahimovic to carry the team. They failed to qualify for the 2014 World Cup, so there's definitely unfinished business for Sweden at Euro 2016.
Proper music. Proper sport.
What a goal!
Proper radio.
This is Radio Yorkshire.
First up in Group F is the country home to Arnold Schwarzenegger, Mozart, Johann Strauss and a fair few mountains as well. It's Austria. The core of the Euro side for them is made up of the squad that finished fourth in the Under-20s World Cup in 2007. And to be honest, they're not looking too shabby. It's built around a solid defence and plenty of counter-attacking. Bayern Munich's David Alaba has made his debut when he was just 17, and the playmaker is at the centre of Austria's midfield and dictates the tempo of the game, which is weird, considering his normal position is at fullback, but it kind of works. Marco Janko is an absolute machine up front. He scored 39 goals in a single season one time for Salzburg. His mum also won a bronze medal at the 1968 Olympics in the javelin, so sporting success definitely runs in the family. Next up in Group F is Hungary, who won't be short of attacking options, with six strikers being named in the squad for France. The skipper is winger Balázs Juzák, who plays his club football in Germany. In 2012, he joined Dynamo Moskva for €19 million, becoming Hungary's most expensive player ever. Tamás Priskin is in there as well, the ex-Watford man. And they've also got former West Brom man Zoltán Gyira in midfield, who won the Hungarian Footballer of the Year not once, not twice, but a solid three times. No player scored more than two goals in qualifying for Hungary, and boss Bernard Szczórek will be hoping he's rectified the problem. Next up is a country with just 323,000 people. That's just slightly more than the population of Wakefield, and they're at the Euros, which is absolutely crazy. With the construction of 30 all-weather pitches in the country, it's enabled youth coaching all year round, and it means kids are taught by a qualified coach virtually from when they can walk. It's something which their under-21 squad benefited from back in 2011 as they qualified for the World Cup. They've got Eddie Good-Johnson in the squad. The 37-year-old ex-Chelsea man is now at Molde in Norway. And of course, Swansea's Gylfi Sigurdsson is in there too. he'll be hoping for a couple of his specialist free kicks at some point during the Euros. And lastly in Group F is Portugal, and a fun fact for you, the manager is a former electrician, which is nice. He took over after a shock 1-0 defeat to Armenia at the start of qualifying, but in the same way that Sweden depend on Ibrahimovic, Portugal tend to depend on Cristiano Ronaldo. However, they do have a straightforward group. João Moutinho and former Chelsea defender Ricardo Carvalho will add some solidity, and André Gomes is an emerging talent in midfield. Portugal have won all of their previous competitive matches against Iceland and Hungary as well, and boss Fernando Santos will be keen to ensure that run continues.
Great, this is Radio Yorkshire.
Welcome back to this football special here on Radio Yorkshire. Sam, Tom and Bobby picking the England team to start the Euros against Russia on Saturday. We've been through our formations, our goalkeeper defence and midfield, and now it's down to the all-important position. Who is going to lead the line for England and score those all-important goals that are going to take England to Euro 2016 glory? Tom Carnduff, we've heard some pretty sensible choices from you so far. You're with a diamond. You've gone for very sensible choices with Smalling alongside Cahill. Very sensible midfield. Henderson and Diabo featuring in your midfield as well. Are you going to surprise us with anything with your strike force?
See, I'm undecided on the strike force. I think the obvious there, there's two striking positions in my team, and obviously one's going to go to Harry Kane. A couple of fantastic seasons now. He's kind of shaken off that kind of one season wonder potential tag that some people were branding him as. He's had another fantastic season for Spurs, obviously just coming short of winning the Premier League in the end, but they were real contenders for the duration of the season. He was really a star in that team as well, young, exciting, upcoming striker. But the position next to him is kind of one that I'm umming and ahhing about. In terms of obvious choices, Jamie Vardy, we all know the season he's had. He's been fantastic for Leicester, winning, obviously, this fairy tale story at Leicester, winning them the league, helping with the just sheer number of goals that he scored. But that's where a player like him, who's got power, he's got pace on him as well, he's got goals in him, whether we should be looking to utilise that in kind of second half, later in the game, when we're getting to the hour mark, tired defenders, players who maybe we're drawing, trailing, chasing a game, etc. Someone like him to come on who can make a real, real impact from the bench would be fantastic. And we've already got a proven goal scorer in Kane on the pitch. So I'd be tempted to play someone like Sturridge alongside Kane. Someone who, you know, there's the injury problems there as well, but he's proven himself to be an international goal scorer. And having someone like him alongside Kane, we've got Vardy to come off the bench if needs be, and someone who can make a real impact against tired legs.
There we go. Bobby?
Yeah, I agree with what Tom was saying. I think Harry Kane needs to start up front. And I think if you were to ask anybody in the country who, you know, the one striker they want to start, they would say Harry Kane. You know, he's been absolutely phenomenal for Tottenham Hotspur. He's done well in the games he's played for England. He's definitely the one to start. To partner Harry Kane up front, I would have to pick Jamie Vardy. As Tom alluded to there, he's had a phenomenal season at Leicester City this year. He's been absolutely fantastic. He's earned his place in the England squad. I think what we've seen of him in an England shirt, he's done well. He's done enough to impress. I think he's proved that him and Kane, they can work up front, which I think is key. One thing I do want to say, though, is I think if you were to, say if it were to start with Kane and Vardy up front, I know Tom mentioned there about obviously Daniel Sturridge. Now, whether or not if they were to bring Kane or Vardy off, that Daniel Sturridge would be the obvious option to fetch on. My opinion, I would fetch on Marcus Rashford, who is, again, he's burst onto the scene. He's not quite scored as many goals as what Jamie Vardy has. He's had like a different season to burst onto the scene. But I think with him, because I would say other countries don't know too much about him, if he was to come on and play like how he has, I think he could be like our secret weapon, if you like, where I think Daniel Sturridge is very much exposed. If he was to come on, Daniel Sturridge, for example, I think the opposite manager say, oh, I know what Sturridge is going to do. I know his style of play. I've seen how he plays. Where Marcus Rashford, we've not really seen that so far. So I think potentially he could come on and be like the secret weapon for us and be the one to, you know, maybe score a few goals if things are not going quite right. But I would definitely start with Kane and Vardy. But he needs to bring Rashford on at some point. Or whether or not if we do so well, he turns around and says, I'm going to start with Rashford up front.
There we go. That's Bobby's choices. Kane and Vardy leading the line for England. And he fancies Rashford to make an impression off the bench. I'm going 4-4-3, as already discussed. My front three, Vardy right-hand side, Kane down the middle, Lallana on the left-hand side of the three. Lallana, of course, traditionally a midfield player, a wide attacking player, so can drop into the midfield areas. Vardy can do some good defensive work for the team as well, with the options, as Bobby said, Rashford coming off the bench for England, Sturridge as well. Roy Hodgson does have options there, and I think with the absence of Danny Welbeck, Jamie Vardy is that kind of guy that can do the job, a similar kind of job for the team for England. So I think he might be slightly sacrificed for the way Roy Hodgson could set up this England team. So there we go. That's my front three with Ali Rooney, of course, in midfield with Dyer sitting there. So, lads, I think there's some good choices there. I think if Roy Hodgson's listening tonight, he might be scrambling around for a bit of paper, trying to work it out, trying to get that square sorted out that you mentioned earlier, Bobby. So plenty of hope for England. But where, Bobby Beavers, are England going to get to?
Realistically, I think this is the first year in a fair few years, and I'm probably going back 20 years to Euro 96, but I think this is the first year in 20 years when I'm saying I think we can get to the final. And I really do think, I think we've got a good, you know, we've got some great players in there. You know, we've got Harry Kane, we've got Ali, you know, in the midfield. We've got some great players. We've got some great players on the bench as well who potentially could come on and change games and make a huge impact. So I think we can get to the final. And I think, you know, if anything, I think if we get to the final, I think we can win it. But I do think we can get to the final. I really do.
There we go. An optimistic Bobby Beavers. And over to another man full of optimism, Tom Carnduff.
Yeah, like we were saying last night, we kind of discussed this then, but I'll stick with what I said then. In if at least semi-finals for England with this team, like Bobby was saying there, that the quality that England have throughout this team, the not just the quality, but these are players in form as well. Two very good strikers in Kane, Vardy, whether, you know, however they're utilised. But throughout the squad, you're Ali, Dyer, Kale as well. Hart's had a decent season as well. Just throughout the squad, there's the quality there. And I think with the way some other top countries are going as well, not necessarily been in their best form either. You know, some didn't even qualify when you look at the likes of Holland. And I think if England can win the group as well, put us in a very, very good position for our route to at least the semi-finals, where I think, obviously, if kind of going on your favourites, I think it's where we'll meet Spain there. But before that, very winnable games for England, and they need to be winning the group. So, yeah, at least semi-finals. And once you're in that stage, you never know how far you can go from there.
I'm with you from yesterday. I'm going to go England semi-finals for a minimum requirement for Roy Hodgson's team. If it's not to be England, though, Bobby, who do you fancy to win it if it wasn't going to be Roy Hodgson's team? Or are you just so strong that you are England all the way?
I would probably say if England wasn't to win, I would say... Can I have two? If it was, can I just have two?
So England were going to win it. Yeah,
I think England can win, but I'm saying if England don't win, I think it'd be either Germany or France.
And off Germany or France?
Probably say Germany.
Carnduff?
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with Bobby in terms of Germany. Fantastic squad, obviously losing a couple of players after that fantastic, obviously last major tournament in winning the World Cup, but they've just got the quality throughout the ranks there as well. World-class players, and it's shown that, you know, they've even looked back to the likes of Mario Gomez, calling him back up because he's been in terrific form. Players of experience mixed with players who are in form, young, exciting players. And if it's not to be England, I do really fancy Germany, who have put a bet on. But in the Radio Yorkshire Euro sweepstake. I've also got France, so I wouldn't be too bothered if they win it either.
Yeah, I'm going to go France as my option. Lots of ups and downs for this French team, but loads of talent, and on home soil with that advantage, there'll be plenty of emotion flying around after everything that's happened in France over the last couple of years. But I think it might galvanise them, and I am going to back France. Of course, if England don't win it. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us this evening. Bobby, thank you to you for your efforts with the Royal Ascot special as well. Tom Carnduff, thank you to you as always for your insight as the editor of the72.co.uk. We shall be back, myself and Tom, in a brand new slot from next week, Wednesday night, 6 till 8 to the 72 for 2 hours. How am I going to sit across from this guy? Maybe we'll have to invite Bobby back in.
Yay!
Bobby's formation generator.
Yeah, you could be. You could be the new Jamie Carragher.
Oh, I'll get him. Yeah.
He's far too well-dressed.
Yeah, thank you.
Next on Radio Yorkshire, it is the best of the Martin Kellner takeover before David Bolton hits the airwaves with Yorkshire Nights. And don't forget, Andy Lawson back on Good Morning Yorkshire tomorrow morning from 6:30. Thanks for listening.
Proper music. Proper sport.
What a goal!
Proper radio.